Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial, chaos, and community, spiritual, chaos, for your listening pleasure.
Debut show, Freestyle Friday. This is Tim the Overseer coming to you live tonight with my co-host, Big Tate Entertainment. He's now on the line. We're now live tonight, starting our Freestyle Fridays. And this will be the first show. We'll be doing this every Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. East Coast Time, and 7 p.m. West Coast Time. And so with that being said, we're going to be talking about the topic tonight. Of course, we all know the biggest topic right now around the country is with what happened with the brother Floyd up there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's actually catching wildfire around the country. And as we speak, we're just constantly getting new updated news, which is just really unbelievable. But we're going to definitely get into that. And so we're just going to cover some things as far as what we could do as a community, as a country, and as a nation, to help come together and hopefully to come to some resolve with this issue. With that being said, I'm also going to share with you some of my personal experience. I'm quite sure Big Tate Entertainment is going to share some of his experiences as well as what he's experienced in the past when it comes to law enforcement and just what we should do and how we should conduct ourselves. Again, I know that we're all beyond mad, frustrated, angry. In fact, the word says, be angry, but sin not, okay? So, but we'll talk about these things. And with that being said, again, I'm going to go ahead and have Big Tate Entertainment to go ahead and just kind of give us some mindset and thought as to how he feels about what's going on and some resolve as to what we could do as, again, a community, a country, a nation, as a people, okay? Go ahead, brother.
All right, man. Well, I mean, pretty much, Tim, like I was just telling you, I mean, you know, enough is enough. And pretty much riled up and just frustrated, you know, with everything that's going on from, you know, the corona epidemic, Trump being in office, doing what he's doing, and, you know, just people already just fired up, you know, and you know, and we ain't seen this play out several times, man, you know, and this is, Will Smith said it best, you know, basically it isn't something new that's happened. It's just being filmed now, you know, and,
right.
And it's just time out, man. So, I mean, I don't agree with the looting. I mean, what is the looting going to do? What is stealing the TV going to do to help the situation when you really sit back and assess it? It don't do anything. I mean, you know, you're just taking free stuff. And then on top of that, perception is the biggest thing. So therefore, you got people of all nationalities looking at us. And I'm going to just say us because we fall in that group. You know, like, look at them. See, you know, they're stealing, looting, destroying. And you know, so they can't take us serious. But like I was just saying is, if they're going to, I mean, if we're going to have change, man, we're going to have to, you know, understand that, you know, we're going to have to come together as people. And have to actually, to be honest with you, have white people behind us on this issue. I mean, don't quote me on it, but like once the riots back in, if I'm correct, back in '68, you know, in Mississippi, when those white people got killed, you know, that sparked change. You know, because it was their own that was dying too, you know, for the cause. And so I just think that that's just where we are, just where we are nowadays. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think this right here was, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, because reality TV. And when I mean by reality TV, you watching Atlanta Housewives. Okay, now you can actually witness, you know, police murdering innocent black men. You know what I'm saying? Live.
Right.
And you know, I think that just struck a nerve with a lot of black people. And I'm not just going to say black people. I'm going to just say a race of people. And, you know, now we're just in uproar, man. It's like enough is enough, because, like me and you were talking about before, you got boys. I got girls.
Right.
And the threat is more so for boys than it is for girls. You know what I'm saying? The threat, you know, my girls, you know, it's bad for them, but it's really bad for our young men, because, you're a threat. And, you know, hair, you know, basically, you know, I happened to see a gentleman the other day, you know, that the thing about it now, what they're doing is wearing their hair nappy, right? And
right.
So it looks very intimidating, right?
Right.
So it's like, let me go ahead and actually, you know, check this young gentleman, because, you know, you're a threat to us, you're a threat to society and stuff like that. And you just never know that kid's upbringing, you know, which is a whole nother topic that we could talk about, upbringing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
With a lot of this stuff. And I'm not justifying that. Every incident has been innocent, that you know, a black person have died in the hands of a police officer. I'm not saying that, I'm not justifying that, hey, everybody was innocent. But the point of it is that, dude, everybody got to die. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of white people out there that are just as worse as the worst black person that they happen to catch and try to apprehend, but they're able to go home. Well, not go home per se,
right,
but they're able to get into the back of the patrol car, and their families are able to come visit them in the facility.
Exactly.
And when our black mothers and our black fathers got to go visit their sons and daughters in a morgue,
right,
you know what I'm saying? And I got a real problem with that, you know?
Right.
You know, so,
exactly.
Basically, just, you know, right now, you know, I'm definitely up for solutions, and I'm the one quick to say, we don't have any real activists out there right now. To me, I don't. I haven't seen any type of real activist, people that's real activists. What I have seen is people represent, oh, we doing such and such, but soon when the new show, a new series come out on HBO or whatever, it just dies down. It's just like covers
exactly
up.
Exactly.
Really, what didn't happen? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Know,
it's
so,
a distraction.
Exactly. You're just being distracted. You know what I'm saying? It just seemed like, oh, okay. Well, you know, we got the new Cookie Lines and Lucius on. Before you know it, everybody
right
forgot about, you know, the Castillo incident. You know what I'm saying? And so I watch stuff like that. I like, okay, the news stopped talking about it or whatever, and everything goes away. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, those parents are still dealing with the loss of their son, the loss of their daughter. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's just sad. I'm just being honest with you.
It's just sad, you know. But I mean, I don't want to just sit here and go on and on, you know, about it. But that's just where I stand. I'm pretty much at the point where, you know, enough is enough. And like I was telling you, dealing with my entertainment, I, you know, pretty much 85% my clientele are white people, you know, and that's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I pretty much have been raised to not hate anybody. So I'll go with it. I can work with anybody. But my thing of it is, you can't bring no nonsense to me because you're going to get some smoke, you know.
Right.
And what I mean by that, nothing violent, but what I'm just saying by that is I'm going to let you have I'm not the typical black person that's going to sit here and let you say what you want to say, and I just sit here and be on mute about it. No. You know, like we talked about before, these young kids letting, white people, Mexican people, call them niggas and stuff like that because it's the end thing, the cool thing. You know, when we came up, it wasn't nothing like that was going on. You know what I'm saying?
No, exactly.
You know, it was forbidden to say stuff like that, you know, because, you know, you just pretty much get checked. You know what I'm saying? And it was just a respect line. But there's no respect line now, you know, and just to tap into that real quick, you know, when I first moved to Dallas, you know, I had a rude awakening with that, you know, and I'm sitting here like, wait a minute, hold up, what did you just say?
Ain't never seen nothing like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe the music was so loud that it sound like you said, you know, the N-word. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna let you have a pass. But when it came around again, I had to confront it. And you know, my other buddy was cool with it. But like I told him, I said, I'm not cool with that. And every time he say something like that, I'm going to check and just let you know. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, well, man, you know, it's just a word. You know, it's not just a word. That's the reason why, you know, society is the way it is now. Because I'm telling you, I just can't deal with that. I just can't deal with that. But anyhow, where I was going with the story was this. When I started working at a couple of these bars, you know, this white guy came up and said, hey, man, do you have a problem with, you know, people saying that word? I said, you don't think I should? I said,
right,
no.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm like, I said, now, I'm going to tell you, it's like 40 to 50 of you and only one of me. And I said, I cannot let y'all sit here and disrespect me like that. You know, say, oh, no, we'd never say it, but I just want to know because, you know, the other past karaoke DJs came in here. They didn't mind, and they was singing the different songs with that word in there. I said, well, no, I'm going to tell them. You know, I'm going to cut your mic off if you happen to say the word. Or, two, I'm just going to tell you I don't have a song. If I can feel your energy and your energy is telling me that you're just the type of person that's going to do what you want to do, I'm going to tell you straight up now, I don't got it. You know what I'm saying? Just keep the confusion down. But, you know, if you're pretty cool or whatnot, you just like the song, and you're like, man, I'm not going to say the word, whatever. I'm like, yeah, because I don't mind cutting everything off.
Exactly.
Right there and giving you an exit off the stage, you know, embarrassing you. Because, I mean, for one, like I said, I'm the only one that's representing me. You know what I'm saying? Because if I take you to Oak Cliff, you're not gonna say anything like that.
No.
You know, if I take you to a black establishment with all them brothers in there, it's not gonna be a thought.
Right. It's probably gonna make it to the call.
Yeah, so don't disrespect me. You know, don't disrespect me like that, think that it's all right, because I'm gonna get you before you get me. You know, but I mean but however, that just shows you the mindset that the country is in. You know what I'm saying? When you feel like it's okay to use that word when that was a derogatory word originally. You know what I'm saying? So, and that brings us right back around to police brutality. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody like the black culture, but don't want don't but don't like the black individual.
Right.
You know, and that's just being real, you know. Everybody, it don't matter. It don't matter. Every time I can go to 10, just say I can go to, just to make it easy, I can go to 20 cars. And I bet you, out of 20 cars, 80% of those cars have black music pumping in their decks. The other 20, you know, they probably listen to what they listen to. But I'm just saying, you know, everybody likes the black culture, but don't like the black person that's with it. You know what I'm saying? And that, I have a problem with that. You know, I got a real problem with that. You know what I'm saying? You don't like the skin that I'm in, but you a culture vulture, though. You're a culture vulture. You know what I'm saying? Just sit here and you know, rap all day. You know what I'm saying? Rap all
right.
day long. But anyway,
and you know,
that's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I can definitely hear, you know, the frustration in your voice because, you know, as when we talked before, you know, in the past, you know, it's a bothersome thing. And I think certain incidents trigger each one of us a different way. Like maybe some people were fed up back when Trayvon Martin was murdered. Maybe when the kid from Brown out of St. Louis, when he was murdered, the guy in New York when they was choking him when he was murdered. For some people, that was enough. That was it. But I think, you know, there's a level of distraction. You know, people go back to living because these situations, they haven't really hit home. And unless it really hits home like a loved one or someone close to you, you're just like you go back to living after a week or so. But we're seeing
uh-huh.
these incidents happen repetitively over and over and over again. You see these incidents, like just, what was it, last week, there was a lady that they had broken into her home. And I call these incidences murders. You know, if I remember back in the day, you know, we're kind of like, we have some old school people in our family. And, you know, I remember instances where people in our family would say they got into a fight with cops back in the day in the 70s and the 80s. And,
right.
you know, they would go home. I remember one guy used to kind of brag about how he used to, you know, he was a pretty good sized guy and he used to get into fights with officers. And he said he beat up two or three or four of them. But, you know, they throw him in jail and then the same week he'd be back out. And, you know,
right.
those days are long gone. And not that I'm condoning, you know, any violence against anyone. It doesn't matter if it's an officer or a pastor or a lady, a woman, a man, a child. I'm not advocating any type of violence. I'm just saying we
right.
see how times, things are totally different. And, you know, we have to find a solution, okay, because this, you know, people are fed up. And as you said, is the nation fed up? And I think that's the real question that we have to ask. There's some questions because you brought out several good points. You know, is the nation fed up? Is everybody fed up? Because it has to be
right.
more than just us, like you said, just as African-Americans or black people or melanated people, whatever you want to label us as. Is the whole country has to become fed up, which I don't believe that that's going to happen. But we have to have enough people around the nation to say, hey, this is wrong. This is not right. This needs to end. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't even aware, you know, like you said, I wasn't aware that people are storming the Capitol, you know, are going to the White House. I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't even aware that people in you know, Atlanta is rioting, you know, and California,
yeah.
I saw them in the news. They're out there marching. I'm sorry. They're marching, not rioting. They're marching, as far as I know. California was marching. They had shut down one of the freeways out there. And, you know, it's kind of
mm-hmm.
like, well, it's because they had an incident out there one summer. A young man, his life was taken, I think, in his grandmother's backyard or his mother's yard. And we see
right.
that, you know, it's just because it's hitting home more. And as you were
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, I got boys. You know, I got my sons and girls, but I got boys. You know, I got girls. But we're mainly
right.
concerned about our boys because, again, you put on some real good points. It was funny that you mentioned about, you know, having nappy hair because the kids now are wearing their hair more natural now, which I like. I think it's cool. You know, we wore our hair
yeah.
natural. We wore boxes back in the days. You know, when boxes were back in the 80s and in the 90s, that was in. That was a thing. But
exactly.
now the kids are just, like, wearing their hair. And when I say, like, natural, I mean just natural, not even combing it. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember one night when we went to one of my daughter's basketball game, and one of my sons, he kind of wears like a mini afro, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I get what you're saying. We see the stereotypes. We saw them when we were young, you know, back in the day.
Right.
You know, we see the stereotype. It's always going to be a stereotype with our men. And
right.
yet, as you say, you know, yet you see people mimicking us all over the world, but at the same time showing us hate. And I just remember one night we went to this basketball game, and the police officer just kept staring at my son. I'm watching him. He just kept staring at my son. You know, because, you know, he has, you know, he wears jewelry. He has two earrings in his ear, and he just wears his hair natural. And I'm just,
right.
I'm looking at him staring at my son, and he never looked at me, but I'm staring at him as he's staring at my son. And I'm like, okay, what are you thinking? You know, what's going on in your head and your mind? And a lot of times as men, we feel some type of way when our boys go out. You know, I remember back in the day when we was coming up, you know, we can go out. It seemed like it just be free. We listen to our music. If our music was loud, they would just stop us and tell us to turn it down. You know, things of that nature. Every now and then you would have a cop that, you know, would display racism, you know. But for
exactly.
the most part, you really didn't experience that. You know, if it was there, it wasn't practice, I guess I should say. We didn't really see it. And so this day and time, you know, me and my brother, and I talked to my brothers about this week, you know, and it's like almost like we're going back to the lynching days. It's like, how do we get back here? We thought, you know, coming out of the 70s, coming out of the 60s, you know, into our time, we thought, hey, we're good. The world's getting better. You know, people are coming together more. You see more interracial marriages, more interracial couples. And you're thinking, okay, well, maybe the world is becoming a better place. So we thought.
Right.
But, you know, we can't continue. And you see, like I said, you see more interracial dating, more than I've ever seen since I've been alive. And it's like, we can't continue to go down this path, okay? We can't continue to be murdered and live our lives in fear. And so, you know, and I'll just share with you an incident that happened to me. Exactly. You know, I was just thinking about this week, because I hadn't really been thinking about this stuff that much. But these last three incidents just kind of like, wow, just made me kind of really think, because I know a few weeks ago we had an article on the show about the guy and I think it was in Georgia that lost his life.
Right.
And I've just been doing some things. I said, you know what? What brushes have I had with the law, and how did I respond? And hopefully this helps someone. Hopefully this helps some young people. And I may share a personal story that happened a while, long, long time ago. I may share it tonight. I may wait into the future to share it. But I'm going to share a few stories of my experiences, you know, with the law. I remember 20 years ago, I was going home from church. We had a lock-in at the church. And my wife and kids were staying at the church. So I was like, you know, saying goodbye to them. I was seeing them because I had to go to work the next day.
Right.
So on my way home, you know, I actually did run the stop sign. It's called a rolling stop. I don't know what they call it anywhere else, but in Texas, it's called a rolling stop, meaning that you don't really stop at the stop sign. You just kind of
They call it a California stop sometimes.
Oh, okay, California.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
it's called a California
rolling stop. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm cruising to the house, and you know, it's late. It's like after midnight, and so I didn't think nothing of it. I just left them at the lock-in, and I'm cruising through the stop sign. I kind of like barely haphazardly stop and keep going. And out of nowhere, this cop, you know, because of the lady, he's right behind me. I'm like, man. And the first thing that I notice is that when he comes up, he unbuckles his gun holster, which I'm like, in my mind, okay, what's that about? And he kind of puts his hand on his gun. And from the back, he's how do I say it? He's looking for, I guess, me to get out of line. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I just ran the stop sign. I know that I ran the stop sign. And so he kind of starts talking to me rough and asked me some questions, which I don't think were valid questions, but, you know, I answered his questions. And so basically, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of times when we are tested, we basically have to respond a certain way. In other words, try not to give people a reason, because we can't help what people choose to do. So my mindset, my mentality was, I'm going to be respectful. Irregardless of him talking rough and ugly to me, I'm going to be respectful because I can't control what he does at the end of the day. Whatever decision he makes is the decision that he makes, but I'm not going to give him a reason. So if he just picks a reason, then that would be on him.
Right.
But I would know in my heart and in my mind and for my peace, I've done nothing wrong. And so, you know, eventually he couldn't trigger me. So he writes me my ticket. You know, I go home and just tells me, hey, next time don't let it happen. I'm like, sure, no problem. Mm-hmm. I go home. And so, you know, I've seen some instances where people, you know, even in you know, our culture, in the black community, as well as the white community, talk rough to cops and nothing happened. Now, that's not a choice that I would make. Yeah, it's not a choice I would make, but I've been stopped several times. Even by, I remember a black lady stopped me one time. She was talking rough to me. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what's this all about? And I mean, I you know, so for the most part, irregardless of who is coming from or why it's happening, and I'm not excusing the fact that there's an issue with white cops killing black men. I'm just simply saying, regardless to who it is, because I've had some, if you will, some black officers to kind of be a little, you know, aggressive or rough. But irregardless, I give them the respect. You know, I'm going to be respectful, and I'm not going to give them a reason to, you know, to I guess, harm me if I can help it, if that makes sense. Because at the end of the day, I have to think, well, I have to live for another day because I have people dependent on me. And so, you know, without making light of the situation, I'm just saying hopefully that helps someone in all this frustration, irregardless of what's going on. You know, if you get stopped, don't necessarily be fearful, because remember, he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. If you know that you've done nothing wrong, I was not ever fearful or ever will be when they stop me, because I don't have a reason to be. And that's not trying to say, you know, I'm sticking my chest out or anything. I'm just simply saying, if I've done nothing wrong, I have no reason. It's kind of like, you know, why are you running if you've done nothing wrong? And so I always be respectful. And so, you know, a lot of times we have to think, like you said, is the black man a threat? You know, you mentioned that. Are we a threat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if so, what's the threat? You know, and, you know, how can we basically, because the main purpose of this is how can we be better as far as everyone on just a as a team, as a nation, as a people, and as a community? Because right now you got people who, like I said, I saw it this morning. I was in shock. I saw, you know, these people, but buildings are being burned down. I'm like, okay, I didn't know all this was happening. You know, I didn't know it was, you know, taken to that level, which I understand. You know, people being mad, they're frustrated, they're angry. You know, this has happened, I think, twice in Minnesota. I'm not for sure how close, you know, I don't know if it's in, I know it's the same state, but I don't know how close the cities are. This was Philando Castile, you know, remember they said he almost got his horn shot off. I make it a point not to watch those videos because, you know, I can't. I can't watch those videos because they do make you angry. They do make you mad because it's like, why would this happen? This is a human being. And if all he did, irregardless of what he did in the past, doesn't matter about his record, what he did in the past, at this point, why is it judge, jury, trial, and punishment right here? Why is it not, hey, okay, you know, like I said, I remember back in the day, even being stopped sometimes. I remember one time I was rude with a cop one time. And he was just, I remember you was with me that time. You remember the time you were with me? And it wasn't intentionally trying to be rude or try to prove a point. I was just aggravated because I felt like he just stopped me for nothing. And then I had to think after we drove off, that could have went in another direction. And so I had to be wiser moving forward and thinking to myself, okay, next time I can't let nothing like that happen. Irregardless of how I feel or how my day is going, I can't be letting my emotions get the best of me, because we never know what people would do. And we're in a different time than it was a long time ago, back in the 90s. But my point is that what can we do as a community moving forward? How can we work together, you know, with those who want to work with us? Because obviously you got people who don't care about what's happening. They don't care about, you know, these black men and women being murdered. We know that. That's obvious. But you got people out there who don't look like us, who do care, who don't want this to continue to go on. And so their businesses are being affected. Like you said, there are people looting, people destroying business buildings. That's a cost somewhat for the taxpayer, for the government, for these business owners, insurance companies. That's an issue. And so saying that to say this is the result of them not taking care of these things and saying, hey, this needs to stop. And if it does, see what I've learned is if there's a repercussion, you're not going to do some things. If these cops are being arrested on the spot, the same day, hey, you lose your job, you're arrested, you're going to trial and actually getting sentenced, it'll stop. It'll stop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I hear everything you're saying, man. You know,
or at least slow down. Go ahead.
You say what again? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off and everything. I'm feeling everything that you're saying. Me and you both have had our run-ins, and it's almost, and I hate to say it, it's almost like you almost have to do for a black man to make it out of a traffic stop. You almost have to do a Bojangles. You know what I'm saying? You almost have to, put aside of who you really are. You know what I'm saying? Because, it just at times, it's like, man, I'm pulled over. What's going to happen to me? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, they already unstrapping their gun. You know what I'm saying? Which I get it. I try to play the devil's advocate. I try not to be one-sided. I try to look at all sides. You know, if I constantly see, because TV has a lot to do with what's going on right now. People don't understand that, when you put things in your spirit, every movie that we see, every television you see, you always see the black person as the bad. He's always the villain, right? So therefore, it's conditioning. It's somewhat brainwashing. So therefore, when they pull us over, they already got this perception of us, of who we are. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, they don't know that they pulling over a pastor. Okay, they just think you nuck from the hood. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that. Okay, I'm not violent. You know what I'm saying? If you stop me for a valid reason, I understand that. For one, when you pull me over, I'm gonna be respectful anyway to you because it's for you pull me over for a reason. But I'm gonna share with you one. I got a few stories. Just recently.
Okay.
Just recently, and I'm gonna show you, man, how things get real hairy real quick. I went to go pick up my wife from work one day, and now, mind you, I've been working on cars all day, so I was already hooded out, and so I had a hat on, slammed down real low, but however. We was going to pick up some food for the kids or whatnot. So we went to go pick up the food for the kids after we picked up, I picked up from work. All right, so this state trooper was he was just actually turning on to 121 right off of 35, if you remember where that is.
Right.
And so me and him locked eyes. And what I noticed, too, policemen do not like for you to lock eyes with them. They don't want you to eyeball them. I don't know what the deal with that. You know what I'm saying? But they don't like for you to lock eyes. So when we locked eyes, I told my wife, I said, he about to come get me. Lo and behold, he went over three lanes of traffic to make a U-turn. And now I had about three or four cars behind me now, so when we was making that left turn to exit onto 35, he hurried up and jumped around some cars and he flipped his lights on. But I told my wife, I said, I told you he was coming. I told you he was coming for me. I seen him.
when I looked in his eyes, we locked. And instantly,
wow.
I said, he about to come get me. Now, mind you, all right, your question would be, well, did he have a valid reason? That's your question right now. I know. But did he have a valid reason? I'm going to say yes and no. Because according to law officers, that they for any reason, you
right.
know, because, you know, for safety, quote, unquote, safety violation. I mean, just, you know, just to do a random check to make sure that, you know, you are legal or whatever. But however, I already
right.
knew because I was a black man in a Mercedes, you know,
right.
a Mercedes truck, that he already knew. I had my hat on low. I had my hat slammed low, you know, where you can barely see my eyes. But however, when we locked eyes, I knew exactly he was coming to get me. So when he pulled over, and so I told my wife, watch this. Roll down the window. He came to his side. First thing he's trying to do is smell what's going on in the car. Right? You know, he's like, oh, y'all just picked up something, see? Yeah. Is there a reason that you pulled me over? Well, and he paused. And he was like, well, really, I pulled you over because the back of your light on the top is out. So you mean to tell me you crossed over three lanes to make a U-turn to come get me to tell me that the top of my hatchback light is out? How can you see that from the front? You know what I'm saying? But however,
right.
I know what it was. You know, black man in a nice SUV Mercedes. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, first thing he did, he put his nose in the car. He put his nose in the car because he thought he was gonna smell some weed. Because see, when you smell weed, now they got an excuse. Sir, can you step out the corner? You know what I'm saying? You know, have you
right.
been smoking? Stuff like that. You know. And so when he smelled food in there, that was his first thing. And then so when I found it, I said, so what is the problem? He had to hurry up and quickly think on his feet. You know what I'm saying? And then, because I'm licensed to carry, so now I'm an extra threat. So when he got my license, I said, here, I said, let me give you my other license because I'm licensed to carry. Oh, well, can you just step outside your car real quick and come to the back? Yeah, sure, no problem. No problem. I can do that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Mr. Chase, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go and just give you a warning. Go ahead and get that back light fixed. You know, yeah, have a great day. You mean to stop? You stop me. Like I said, Tim, you would think the way that he, and I'm not trying to exaggerate, but you would thought the way that he, I'm trying to give you a vivid picture. This man, it's 5 o'clock traffic. This man, you know, erratically go over to three lanes. I mean, almost hitting people to make a U-turn to come get me in 5
right.
o'clock traffic. In 5 o'clock traffic.
Well,
you know?
So here's the thing. And, you know, just like you shared your story, you know, as a community, you know, what's our resolve? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to cover some spiritual solutions, okay, that I believe that will, because what we got to understand, because, you know, your point that you're making, your story, a valid point. We definitely experienced it at some point as, you know, black people. And when we go out anywhere, you know, I know our thought is, you know, if we get stopped, our thought is everything going to be okay? Now it comes into our mind. Maybe not before in the past as much as now, coming out of the 90s, the 80s, into the 2000s, especially now. It's getting to an extreme. And like you said, you know, just to go out his way to pull you over. But the resolve, you know, we have to have some type of solution, and we're gonna get into that here in just one moment. But I just also want to just acknowledge that Big Tate is a good friend of mine. We've been friends since childhood. I mean, when I say childhood, almost back since the time of diapers, so we've been friends for a very long time. And so I'm glad that he's on the show as my co-host. And so we're going to be coming to you every Friday, Freestyle Fridays. We're going to be talking about different things. In fact, next week we're going to actually be discussing the N-word. Okay, you all know what the N-word is. Most of us in our community have used it most of our lives. Some people are still using it. And how it affects our people and our culture. Should we use it? Should we discontinue using it? What does it mean? We're going to get into that next Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, 10 p.m. East Coast time. 7 p.m. West Coast time. We'll be back next week talking about that. We're just having Freestyle Fridays where we're just dealing with different topics and issues in our communities. Basically just confronting these issues and how can we basically do better. Like they say, if you know better, you'll do better. We're just going to look at some things as far as what we're dealing with in the world right now in the country, especially right here in America with these incidents. You know, as a people, you know, if you stop, hey, we simply saying, you know, be just, you know, don't get emotional. You know, don't be fearful. My wife even had an incident real quick. I'm just going to share it briefly, and then we're going to get into some other things. I don't want to keep going on the same thing. But my wife had an incident one night when we was working because we used to do delivery, and she actually got stopped. And the cop, you know, somebody called in. You know, that's one of the things we used to have to deal with when we used to deliver at night. People call in, cops following us, come out, stop us. Hey, I heard got a call. And what was the fun thing about it was one of the good things about it is most of the cops knew us and they knew what we were doing at night because we used to deliver in a very well to do prominent area. And so in North Dallas and so north of the Metroplex in the suburbs. And so, you know, I remember one night she got stopped. And let me just show this real quick. One night I had a flat, and the cop, he was pretty cool. He came over, he helped me out and everything. We were good, we were cool. So he knew me. He knew me every time he'd see my car in the a.m. riding delivery. So one night they get a call. My wife is driving. They pull her over. I'm talking about the guy pulls out his gun, tells her to stick her hand out the car. I mean, just all kind of crazy. And the guy, he knew who she was. He's like, hey, he told him to calm down, chill out. You know, he knew me. He knew us. And the guy ended up apologizing. But what if that guy wasn't there? What if he wasn't working that night? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Just because somebody called, just because somebody, because we used to deal with that a lot. Just because, I mean, we would actually have people follow us. What are you doing in this neighborhood? What are you doing? Man, I'm working. You know, you're not going to intimidate. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the things that we deal with. And I tell people all the time, you don't know what we deal with. You know, a lot of people think that we make a lot of these situations. We're not. We're not just complaining. We deal with a lot. I deal with a lot, even in corporate America. And right now, working for a financial institution. You know, I work for one of the major financial institutions in the world right now. And, you know, I deal with it. You know, we deal with certain things. We can report it. But, you know, sometimes people will do things that's kind of subtle and underlining, but you know what it really is. But for the most part, you know, we have to be smart as people. You know, I encourage people, if you're not believers, become one. That's my answer to what's going on right now. If you don't believe, and the reason why I say it, because I hear so many people on social media, and they feel like this is not the answer. They don't feel like you know, becoming a believer is a solution. It is. It's the best and the greatest solution. It's your best. Like I say, when they play cards, it's your best hand. It's your best play. You know, is to become a believer because I believe that He will protect you from certain things and a lot of things. And He has the power to protect you from anything. So, if anything, can't nobody touch you if He say so. You know, if the Heavenly Father Yahweh don't want nobody to touch you, they can't touch you. So I don't care who they are, what authority man has given them, what their title is, what their label is, they can't bother you or touch you if the Heavenly Father doesn't allow you. I tell people all the time, people ask me, you don't carry a gun? No. For what? Why do I need to carry a gun? I'm not ever, you know, my dad used to teach me, and I don't knock, this is not a knock on anybody who's licensed, who carries a gun. Hey, more power to you. I'm not saying that you don't need it. I'm just saying for me and my household, I don't need. I had people question, well, what if somebody breaks in your house? First of all, they're not going to break in my house. Because, see, I have a father that sits on the throne in heaven. And so one thing you're not going to do, you're going to just come to my house. And I assure you, an incident that happened a long time ago with this person, they was considered part of the judicial system. So she called herself coming to the house to check on us or to check on, you know, me. And this was a situation that happened a long time ago. So it was some mess that happened, and it shouldn't have happened. But she came to my house, and it was funny because this lady used to give me a hard time. And so I had told my Heavenly Father, I said, you know what? And you all can say what you want to, but this is what I told my Heavenly Father. I said, if she comes in my house and she tries to do evil or wrong, may you strike her dead. I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that woman came to my house, knocked on my door, and she would not come in my house? I said, see, that's the power of my Heavenly Father, and you can take that the way you want to, but he sits high and he sits low, and that's my protection. I'll take that anywhere, any day, any time, over any weapon, because the word says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, okay? And like I told you before, man has the power to destroy the body, but only Yahweh has the power to destroy the very soul. And this is what I'm saying when Christ said that in the last day, I will raise you up irregardless of what somebody do to you. Look at the prophets, all the prophets in the Bible that were stoned, that were killed. He's going to raise them up in the last day, and they will live. We will see victory, and that's the resolve on the spiritual side. That's the spiritual resolve. We're going to get into some natural resolve, and one of the natural resolve that I use is that I just, even on my job in corporate America for years, I've been doing corporate America now for better almost 25 years, and that's just one of the things, that's just one of the weapons that I use to fight, because if I try to fight people, because as a black man, we're, like you say, we're already looked at as a threat, you know, and I would just admit it, I'm a dark-skinned male, and for some odd reason, people are automatically, some people, not most, not all, some people are just automatically intimidated by you, okay? And so I have to fight my battles wisely. You know, when people try to give me a hard time, hey, that's what HR is for. I go straight to HR. Hey, I tell people I'm like a kid. I am. If people give me a hard time, they get out of line, they say something I don't like, I don't appreciate, that's what HR is for. Okay, HR is not on nobody's side, especially when you're in the wrong. And so if someone does something to me, they know not to bother me. They know not to mess with me, because that's the first place I'll go, because I have to fight different, because I can't lose my job behind my emotions because someone wants to mistreat me because how I look. And I've dealt with that before several times. But after you get your point across, people will leave you alone. They'll stop bothering you. But hopefully something is being said to bless people and help people tonight. This is the main purpose. This is how can we move forward as a culture, because the Bible says over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10, if you don't mind, Rand, I want to read that scripture, those verses, because we have to understand this is a spiritual battle. And as I told you all before, all things are spiritual first before they manifest in the natural, because this is a spiritual warfare that we in. This is a spiritual battle. This is attack on our people, okay? And not saying that other people don't get attacked, but right now we're dealing with the situation at hand. We're talking about the attacks that are currently on us. And so as a black man, African-American man, woman, melanated person, man or woman, whatever you want to consider yourself, this is your defense. You know, I think about the children of Israel, and when they obeyed the Heavenly Father, he protected them from all and any and everything. And that's the reason why I shared that little story with you about the lady that was, you know, that was coming to my house. Hey, if she be ugly to me for any reason, yes, I call it. You can say what you want to, but when you're in a position where people want to harm you or do you, you don't know what people are up to. Hey, I call on my Heavenly right. Father. It's just like a kid with his dad. Hey, daddy, they messing with me. They giving me a hard time. Hey, I'm calling my dad. That's the way I look at it. You know, you can say what you want to, but that's my defense. I call on my Heavenly Father, and he'll take care of it every single time. And that's the best way to fight. There is no other way. And I'm not saying that just because you're a believer that can't nothing happen. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying you have a much better chance than anything physical on this earth for your protection. I guarantee you. The Bible says the safest place in the whole wide world is to be where? In the will of the Most High. He said, I will build a hedge around you. I will protect you. So he's my protector for my enemies. Okay? So Ephesians, the sixth chapter, real quick, then we're going to go ahead and get back into some more discussion because, like I say, Randy, you touched on some pretty good points, and I'm just making notes, yeah. man. I mean, that was some pretty good stuff that you hit on. But I just want to touch on the aspects of the spiritual side of it. I know that you touched on the natural part. We've been dealing with the natural. Then we're going to get back into the natural part. Then we'll probably revert back to the spiritual part to close out tonight. But I just want to share this verse with you from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 10 through, I'm going to add 13 in there. This is what it says. It says, finally, my brethren. So Paul's letting you know that he's speaking to who? The believers. Be strong in the Lord. So when I speak of strength, when I speak and boast of my Heavenly Father, and I say, hey, my Heavenly Father, if she bothers me, hey, you take care of my light way, as we used to say back in the day, take care of my light way. That's what I mean. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not my might. I don't carry a weapon. I don't need to. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I don't need to be. Okay, that's not the life I live. I don't live a violent life, nor do I advocate violence. But if you're coming towards me to do harm, I give you over to my Heavenly Father. However the way He wants to handle it, He's going to handle it. It says in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. It didn't say some of the armor. It didn't just say put on the boots. And it didn't just say just take the shield and the sword. And it didn't just say just put on the helmet. But it said put on the full armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So right now, we're being wilded on by who? The devil, Lucifer himself, is attacking us. And this is what makes me a little frustrated when I see people on social media saying silly stuff. I saw a brother the other day on social media site. He was talking about he's an atheist. I said, brother, we don't have time at this day and time to be atheists and non-believers. That stuff is foolishness, listening to the wrong people. Stop that nonsense, talking about there is no God. And people are thinking running to other continents is the solution. Here's the thing. I'm not in disagreement to you moving anywhere on the planet to escape it. I, in fact, endorse it. I agree with it. If that's what you want to do, I'm all for it. But make sure that he's the head of your life. It don't do you no good to move to another continent and you don't have him as your protector. What sense does that make? That's almost like going on the football field saying, oh, well, I'm going over to another stadium without a football suit on to play football. That makes no sense. You have to put on some type of armor, some type of protection. So you have to be protected from the wiles of who? Lucifer. This is a spiritual warfare battle that we're in. And if we don't get back to the Heavenly Father, then it doesn't matter what you do. If you don't put him as the head of your life and go into this thing, it doesn't matter. You can move to you can move to the moon if you want to. You can move to Saturn if you want to. It doesn't matter where you go. If you don't have him if you don't have him as your Lord and Savior, it don't matter where you move. So watch what it says. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. See, did you hear that? It says not against flesh and blood. Though it's a flesh and blood natural, about things happening in the natural, he said that's not who's behind this. Racism and hate is orchestrated by Lucifer himself. He created this. And he says, but against the principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in what? High places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, or in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Your evil day can come at any time. It ain't just one certain or specific evil day. It can be, but it also can be today or tomorrow. So when it comes, when they come knocking on your door, when they pull you over, wherever you are, it could be at the airport, it could be at your job, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't just have to be someone that's in law enforcement or government or military. It could be your enemy. It could be your neighbor. It could be a person across the street. It could be your worst enemy since high school, since you was a child. And whenever you are dealing with this wickedness, because Lucifer is behind it, whoever is implementing evil and wickedness, where are you going to have to stand? You have to have Christ. You know, that's just all it is to it. And it just kind of hurts me to hear people, especially in our community, to say stuff like, oh, there is no God. I don't believe in that mess. You know, the days and time. The days and time, if you can't tell, it's time to get back to him. I've always said it's always time, but even more so today.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And you know, well, you pretty much know I'm not the most religious person there is, you know, but, you know, I'm not a fool either, you know what I'm saying? And,
right.
And, you know, but, I'm definitely in agreement with everything that you're saying. You know, I'm just saying,
right.
You know, I'm just coming from a place because I'm spiritual, but I'm not spiritual. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense. You know, I'm looking
at it
from
salvation.
Yeah, I have that. You know, it just, I'm coming from a place of where, you know, people are doing the most, Tim.
Put
like this. People don't know how to channel their emotions. People don't know
exactly.
how to channel their emotions. They're channeling it wrong. You know, for one, you know, if they have God first, see, God will lead you to where you need to go, to decisions you need to make. You know what I'm saying? You know, but in the fleshly form, you have to make the rational decisions. Well, is it
right.
cool to go ahead and loot to make a point?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because God is not in that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
God is definitely not in that. And
totally.
So, you know, what I would have to say is this, you know, like I spoke earlier, that we don't have really true activists in this day and time.
Right.
We just really don't. We have a lot of people that are puppets, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, like I was watching, well, you know what's disturbing to me?
What's that?
Dallas is downtown raiding. They're downtown, you know, putting up a big fuss right now. Same like in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
So my question is, in 24 hours from right now, what progress have you made?
Exactly.
What did all what you did in Dallas, Texas, do for the situation? Because
exactly.
now we're down there showing our butts. You know what I'm saying? We're down there.
Right.
You know, policemen got their shields up and, you know, and you know, it looked like it's going to get really violent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah.
But what makes me mad, Tim, is that we don't have, like I said, we don't have really real activists out there, because if that was the case, that they would calm everybody down and say, hey, man, there's a better way.
Exactly.
We can get our
exactly.
point across. You know, why would you go down to Dallas Police Department and cause a fuss like it happened here, which it did, you know, with Amy Geiger. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But however, this situation is in Minnesota. So I personally don't think going down to police departments wherever you are, you know,
right.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm just saying.
Nah, I
it
really,
doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What now?
No, I was just going to say real quick, especially when there's a military behind them, backing them up.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I mean, we have to think logical that here's the thing. That's why, you know, a long time ago, you know, I've spoken to people in different organizations, been in the military, been in the militias. Hey, look, you know, violence is not going to – there are people who've been in military wars. I've met people who've been in Vietnam. And just being a different way, I had a homeboy, he was over in, I think it was Kuwait, Desert Storm, and they'll tell you,
right.
when they come home, man, I wish I would never went. I wish this would never happen. I wish we would never went to war, because the things that they've seen, that's it. They can't
exactly.
get them things out of that. They can't get that out of their head. You know, I have a friend,
right.
he's wake up, and this is not funny, I'm not trying to be graphic, he's run out of the house in the middle of the night, you know, almost naked. And so,
wow.
just because he said his mind was gone. It took him some time, and you know, to get over. He said only through the Lord he was able to be delivered from that. And so, it's not the answer. They have more weapons than you, and we have to understand
mm-hmm.
again. You're in a world where Lucifer is in control. He rules right now, and so he's
right.
thousands of years ahead of us. So that's not the answer. And you're right. You know, like
yeah.
you said, we need more real leaders. You're right.
Nah, you good. You know, it just. I mean, you raised a great point. You know, but I'm just going to, man. It's like this, man. It's like me having it in for all churches because one church did me wrong.
Right.
So now, I'm totally peed off at all churches. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? This church right here did me wrong, so therefore, you can't do that. But the thing about it is that all I'm saying is that, you know, when we protesting, man, we got to hit them where it hurts. That is, stop the funding. We are the largest consumer.
Exactly.
Out of all
1.1 trillion. $1.1 trillion per year.
If we stopped buying and just say, you know what, I'm not spending my money at all, we will hurt the economy.
Right.
Something bad.
Oh,
it's
man.
Already hurting. And so
shut it down.
That's what I'm saying. But going out to different cities and to different cities having different people go out and doing all this construction, I'm gonna call it, to police departments. You know, and then you know what's gonna happen, Tim? They gonna call it martial law. They're gonna call it martial law. So basically, they didn't gave Trump. We gave, and I'm gonna be honest with you. They've been pretty much now because all what's happening in Atlanta and probably everywhere else, what's happening here in Dallas. You know that you know that made Trump smile. Like here we go.
Now we can go ahead and include the worst leader to have in office. I just want to say the worst leader to have in office while you're doing this,
man. Yeah, he already said that old racist thing. You know, if you loot, we shoot. What in the world?
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what I want to talk about because. There's no strategy. There's first of all, like you said, there's no God in front of this movement. There's no God in front of this movement. And so therefore now they just make it irrational. So you have people that's out there really meaning well but don't have the right direction to make a point.
Exactly.
And then you have a lot of spectators. I hate the spectators. Spectators are the people that's not gonna bust a grape. But they're out there just so that they say I was out there. You know, so when history is written 20 years from now, they can say to their kid, I was there. No, you was just hanging around. You know what I'm saying? So my thing of it is that we have got to get a plan in place. Just how we boycotted the King and Malcolm X, they had plans. They had a plan.
Exactly.
Everybody else nowadays is flying by the seat of their pants. Oh,
right.
That's why I say they're going off of straight emotions. Emotions will get you killed, man.
Exactly.
And I don't care whatever situation that you're in. Emotion will get you killed. I don't care if you're in love with a woman or a man, and you let your emotions run away with you because y'all not together. You know, you run up in the wrong spot at the wrong time. You will lose your life. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, and
that's so true. That is so true.
I just have to say that just to let you know that you got to check your emotions. You have got to sit back and think, like, okay, what if? But, you know, they don't have plans. You know what I'm saying? So, but Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all of them great guys in the past, you know, they had a strategy. You know what I'm saying? They had a strategic strategy. That's why they was going to different homes when they was traveling.
Right.
They were going through different homes, linking up with different families, and that's another topic. See, that's why black families are broken up now. But anyway, that's another topic that we'll talk about on Freedom Friday. But however, you know, the thing about it is the plan that they put in motion, you know, white people have got and got, you know, headway of that. And now, you know, I really want to go into that topic, but I can't. I'm trying to pull back, so let me go in there. But however, let me just say this: is that we going by the seat of our pants, man. By us going by the seat of our pants, going off emotions. Now, therefore, you're making it worse for everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got people like me that's knowing what's going on and just as much, I'm just as fired up as the next person. But I'm not going to go downtown Dallas because they down there acting the fool, you know, throwing
right.
beer bottles and stuff at the police officers and stuff, just so you're trying to make a point.
That's
because now you got to understand, we have no government behind us, no military behind us, you know what I'm saying,
right.
to support what you're trying to do. So they're going to shut you down with martial law, you know what I'm saying,
exactly.
put in place. You know, for you know it, they're going to have everybody on lockdown. I'm telling you where it's going. They're going to have everybody
yeah.
on lockdown.
You're right.
And at a certain time, you know, all this because you letting your emotions run away.
Wow.
Had, you know, Jesse Jackson, he needs to come out of retirement. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know he ain't. I know he's not the greatest one, but the thing about it is, you got to have somebody. You know, he got a blueprint. You know, the blueprint he was with, Martin Luther King back in the day. So he knows the
right.
blueprint of what to do. But like these young people nowadays, man, they're not.
There's no leadership.
There's no there you go, Tim. That's it.
You're right.
There's
no leadership. And all we have is you know. I hate to say it, you know, all the kids look up to is the rappers now. You know, they don't have nobody to look up to, or these entertainers,
man.
Or I guess athletes. And they're not, I don't look at them as no lead, not nobody go out and try to lead the community. They're not. I definitely look up to any of them. And so, you know, we need, like you say, there's got to be some leadership, some pulling together, some type of networking to where we can say, hey, look, guys, don't move until we come up with a plan on how we're going to move, we're going to, you know, what direction we're going to go in. And like I say, man, you know, so many people, you know, they love to try to call out, you know, spiritual leaders, like we're weak or something like that. Man, you don't even understand. You don't understand how the battle is won. And again, I revert back to the children of Israel. This is how they won their battles. They let the Most High fight for them. They didn't have to do all that.
Right.
They won their battles. And we have to get back to that. That's where the fear is, because I remember you saying something, is the black man a threat? That's where the fear is if we all get back. And I remember the brother said this last night. I believe it was Minister Taylor last night that was on the show. Minister Brown was one of them that was saying, if we get back to the Most High and we team up. See, that's where the true fear is. That's what Lucifer don't want you to do, is to team up with the Most High. They're not afraid of no gangs. They're not afraid of no thugs. They ain't afraid of nobody's been to prison. They ain't afraid of nobody got 100 million guns in their house. They're not afraid of them. And people have to understand that. That's not how the children of Israel won any battles. You know, and not saying that they didn't use force, but it was warranted at that day and time. It was necessary, you know, at that day and time. And again, the Most High was there. You know, even when they were less and they went up against a multitude, they always came out victorious when they were obedient. And that's what we need to get back to, is being obedient. Because, as you said it earlier, you know, sometimes you have to make people respect you. And this is how you get your respect. Okay, you have to be a man of stature, and you have to walk upright. It ain't about cussing and throwing stuff like you said. That's not the answer. I'm not going to prove anything. They're not afraid of you. They got more than what you got. So you're just wasting time and energy, and we have to channel that energy differently.
Mm-hmm. You're right, TJ. You're definitely right, man. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you said it best. For every person, there's a million people to follow you, good or bad. When you told me that, boy, that right there was heavy. So that lets you know that if the right person is, you know, that could become a real activist. I'm going to say real activist, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to give my shout-outs to Jamal in Palestine, Atlanta. Now, he's on the ground. He's always there. You know what I'm saying? I can't think of Pastor Jamal's last name. Well, he's supposed to be a major pastor there in Atlanta. But however, you know, he always boots on the ground. But I can't say that about our pastors here in Dallas, Texas, that have mega churches. Now, things that go on here, you know, it's looked at, but then it's not seen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't want to offend nobody. You know, if I call out some pastors, they'd be like, "That's my pastor. Don't talk about my pastor."
Boy, you.
But the thing about it, so I won't drop no names, but it's all good. But however, I'm just saying that I'm just being honest with you, man. But however, you know, if like you said, there's a million people to follow. That'll follow one person. I mean, there's a million people that'll follow one person, right? So, all I'm just saying is, if a real activist get on the scene and just have them say, "Hey, this is what we're gonna do." Like you said, don't move until I tell you to move. You know, hey, don't ride off your emotions, because your emotions gonna land you into a place that you can't get out of.
Right.
And just sit there and just do what we're gonna do. Because, like I said, man, you know, in the 60s, man, they had their stuff together. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, when they said boycott the bus system, you seen the movie, Tim? You seen the movie? The boy? What'd he do? He ride up, hit that level of that bus, and them doors pop
which
open, and be like, "Nah, that's all right. I'm going to walk."
Which movie is this?
Oh my goodness! Rosa Parks.
Okay. I'll
say, you know,
and
you know when it was riding up on them, and they opened the door, you know, the black people would just be like, "No, that's all right, I'm gonna walk. No, that's all right, I'm gonna walk." You know what I'm saying? It was hurting them. It was like really hurting them because.
Right.
That they were making the most money off of black people. Man, now, okay, I'm going to go sideways a little bit since we talk about bus systems. Now, I don't know how it is in any other state, but I know right here in Dallas, Texas, town Dallas, oh my goodness, it's nothing but all us. You see what I'm saying? And I mean,
right.
From morning to night, it's nothing but black people that's riding the rails and buses. So you mean to tell me
that won't
impact you whatsoever? You know what I'm saying? If they say, "Hey, you know what? I'd rather walk to work than support this." You know what I'm saying? We have to go back to the blueprint, man. You know what worked before? That worked before because money makes the world go round.
Definitely. I agree with you that, you know, there has to be some type of strategy to combat, to get the nation's attention, because every time this happens, there has to be an interruption. Like you said, whether it be through the financial system, touch somebody's money. I guarantee you, and like you said, just as an example, if all the athletes, all the pro athletes just say, "You know what, we're not going to play this year," okay? If all of us, even us, if we say we're not going to work. Now, I'm not saying that you know, that's a permanent solution, because it's not. But something's got to work. Something's got to get them to say, "Hey, you know what? We're going to stop some of this," or something. There has to be some repercussions or something. And I totally agree with you because, you know, and I just want to just share with what you were saying that I had said. I have a saying that if a million people were foolish enough to follow Hitler, there's a million people, if you have a right cause, that will follow you. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's just true. And so, you know, if you get somebody who has the right, has their head on their shoulder right, and, you know, and like I said, I'm not saying that's a permanent solution, but we do account for 1.1 trillion. That's amazing. In fact, I believe they said that African Americans in the United States we're like ranked number 9 in the world when it comes to spending money. So we're like a country. We spend more money than most countries, than majority of the countries on the planet. So again, some people may not agree with that, but I guarantee you, if you touch people's pocket, I mean, they're going to be handing out a whole lot of stimulus checks to keep the economy going.
You can't
just continue to do this. This is not right, you know, taking somebody's life. And the way that they took their brother's life was just, I can't believe it. When I saw it, I didn't actually watch the video. I only saw a picture.
Well,
because like I said, I can't watch that stuff. I only saw a picture.
Well,
And so, you know, the restaurant that he worked at, the owner of the restaurant said that he was a great employee, said that the guy, he never, you know, he was never a problem. He was never rude or mean to people. He was like a security guard, I think, at his restaurant. In fact, Mr. Floyd actually rented from him, as a matter of fact. He was his landlord. And, you know, he said that, you know, he never had a problem with the guy. He said, in fact, he lost a friend, is what he said. And he said that he hopes that he gets justice because he just couldn't believe that the guy was dead. He said he just saw him. He had just paid his rent last weekend. Because I believe this happened, what, Monday night or Monday, something like that?
Monday.
The guy said, yeah. And he said he just couldn't believe it. And now you got the mayor involved. He's really pushing for the FBI to get involved in this. So hopefully they find some type of resolve. And my condolences go out to his family, his loved ones, because, again, you know, we can't imagine. We can't even fathom. None of us wants to experience that.
Exactly.
Oh, go ahead.
The thing about it, Tim, TJ, it, you know, how we feeling now is how we have always felt. The way I feel now is how I felt when Bo was shot in his own house by a Dallas police officer. You know what I'm saying? That's the same. Because I'm sitting here like, okay, in my apartment, I'm sitting here like, okay, the police officer come in my apartment and just straight kill me. I mean, what is that about? You know what I'm saying? I don't get no justice for that. Okay.
Yeah.
Then, a few months later, after she's convicted 10 years, she just got 10 years for that. You know what I'm saying? It happens again in Fort Worth, Texas. You know, girl playing video games with her nephew. You know what I'm saying? And so somebody said that, you know, somebody was just doing a wellness check. They called just for a wellness check. Just, hey, I haven't seen such and such. It's a wellness check. I just want to make sure it's okay. Well, he happened to see a gun on her bed. Oh, man, he shot through the window. He didn't even announce who he was. You know what I'm saying? She's going back in her room. And mind you, she shot this man. I mean, he shot this young lady in front of her nephew. You know what I'm saying? While they're playing video games. It happens time and time again. So we have this same feeling over and over and over, Tim. But the thing about it is there's never a resolution where you can just exit. Like, okay.
Exactly.
It's always a tense moment. And it just... And everybody always gets off. Okay, everybody always gets off for justifying. Like this man here. You know what they saying he died of? Pre-existing cause like diabetes or something. I'm sitting here like.
Okay. So if that's the case, why didn't he die before he got into their possession or before they handcuffed him? You know, it's gonna always be a cat and mouse game with this, and that's why I say if we don't come together as a nation and we don't put the Most High in front of it, I don't care what nobody say. You know, if you're listening, you're a believer, you should agree. If you don't, that's fine. We'll pray for you. Everybody got their own opinion. If you're a non-believer, if you agree, great. If you don't. But we got to. We got to come together and put Yahweh in front of this, because if we don't, you're not going to win. I always say this. I have a saying that there are three things that are free. Three things. There's air, there's water, and there's salvation for your soul. Those three things are free. I'm breathing air right now, no charge. I can drink water, no charge. I go in my sink. Now, we may pay for water. But if I want to, you know, you can get water either for free or you can get it for cheap. You know, you go out in public, you get water, right? And so those three things are basically free. One is no work. You don't have to do hard. You don't really have to do anything for it, but just simply accept it. See, I can breathe, but see, the key to what I'm saying is I have to continuously breathe just to live. I have to continue to drink water just to live. But for me to live for all eternity, Christ, he died on the cross one time, and I just have to accept him one time. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I just accept salvation one time. That's it. I don't have to do it ever again. Yeah. See, I have to keep breathing, right, to get that free air.
Right.
I have to keep drinking that water. That's work. I have to keep drinking water, drink that free water. But with salvation, I just do it one time. I'm saved for all eternity.
Yep.
The greatest gift. And I tell people all the time, Romans 10, 9, and 10, the plan of salvation. I won't ever stop preaching it. It's the reason that
yep.
I'm alive. It's the reason that I'm here on this planet, is to give you life and to give you life more abundantly and to teach you that there is nothing greater or more important than your salvation on the face of this planet. Don't let nobody teach you anything else other than that. People want to make joke about Christ. You know, if you want to call him Jesus, that's fine. I don't call him that. I call him Yeshua. You know, there's a reason for that. You do your own study and research. That's fine. If you want to call him Jesus, hey, whatever you want to call him, he's my Lord and Savior. And don't you mistake for one second that he's not real. These folks is going around here talking about they atheists. They have no clue what they're talking about. And I pray for their souls that they get saved. And you can say what you want to, but salvation will help to solve a lot of this. I guarantee you, if we get saved, as majority of us get saved, you'll see the Most High stand up. And I guarantee you, you'll see something spiritual go on and happen.
Yeah.
See, people don't want to get into that. That's too heavy for them. That's too big for them.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual thing. I told you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and wicked places. See, when you get into that form of it, when you give it to
mm-hmm.
him and I let him fight my battle, oh, man, it's a whole nother level. See, he can't touch you unless he says, if the Holy Spirit don't move out the way, see, the Holy Spirit is in front of you. He's protecting you, and they can't touch you.
Exactly.
And so I just wanted to share that with you. And again, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is just
right.
simple. And we got to push it. So, if you got a few more words you want to say, we're going to get ready to close out.
I definitely want to horn in on this real quick. I want to drive this home.
Sure.
Like you said, you know, until you get God wrapped up in everything that is happening to go forth, you know, nothing is going to change. You know, and you have so many people that's out there that have watered down religion and believe in this and believe in that, and that's remotely a lot of the problem. Zero in on that. You know, I keep going back to what King them did back in the day. You know, you didn't have different people with different religions for one cause. You know what I'm saying? They already knew, you know, this is basically we're God fearing and you know, we stand on the Bible, we stand on the word, and we pretty much, you know, deserve change. We deserve change and we want change. Nowadays you have so many people that don't believe in the word and think the word is whatever it is. Then you have those that are zeroed in the word because, you know, for one, if you can't get on board with just Christianity, if everybody can't get on board with that, then, you know, you already have weak links in the chain. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because whatever I believe, you may not believe, and that could be a friction between me and you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I believe that's part of the problem. The next problem is this, is that I'm a firm believer in a person that does something over and over and expecting different results is what? Insane.
Insane.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that means,
exactly.
Now, I'm going to go back to 2015. And if y'all think I'm lying, just go look it up yourself. There were over 100 unarmed black people killed in 2015.
Wow.
Okay, 2015. Now, mind you, what did they do? Everything they do on a day. They looted. They rioted. They did everything they're doing right now. What was their change?
No.
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 So that
So that brings you back to, are we insane? Are we insane?
Yeah.
That's the question of tonight. Are we insane? Because we've been doing this since 2015, if not longer, that we ride it, we loop, you know, we doing all this extra stuff, and nothing has changed. Everybody has been getting off steel. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, change up the game plan. You know, tell me,
right.
You know, and this is very cliche-ish, but it's very valid. Me and Tim play video games all the time. You know, y'all may not know that about it, but the thing about it is what I have always respected about Tim is he's a strategist. I would be beating him.
Appreciate it. It could be in football,
it could be in Mortal Kombat or whatever, but what he does, he'll sit back and observe what I'm doing. And what he does, he doesn't keep doing the same thing because I'd be tearing him up. He'll go back and assess the problem and be like, okay, this one I'm going to do. I'm going to put this over here. I'm going to do this over here. Now try what you're doing. We're going to see what happens. That is what you call preparation and planning. And that's what you have to do in today's time. You know, and that's what activists have to do. In 2015, you know, let me look at the tapes. The tape is showing that we're still doing the same thing. Nothing changed. So that means we're going to have to go back to the board and do something totally different. And that's all that I got for tonight, man. I just want people to understand that, you know, it's real out here. And
to expect change,
you got to be the change. To expect change,
exactly.
You got to be the change. You have to be that one, because a double-minded man will fall for anything. You know
what I'm
saying? You got to have your mind fixated on whatever it is that you want to do. You know what I'm saying? And are you, sometimes you got to ask yourself, are you part of the problem or the solution?
Solution, exactly.
And there's a lot of people right now in downtown Dallas that are part of the problem, because all this looting don't have nothing to do with Minnesota.
It's not,
Y'all down there being part of the problem.
Exactly.
The solution. Come up with a plan.
Exactly. You got your big screen TV. Exactly. And so, you know, I really wish we had more time, and we're going to get into next week. We're going to talk about the N word, how it impacts us, where it came from. You know,
can't wait.
I know earlier you mentioned culture vultures and people using the N word.
I can't wait.
So, you know, we're going to get into that next week. I only have a few minutes left, so I just want to take this time out to thank Chaos Talk Radio and Derek Oliver for this platform tonight. This is our freestyle party.
Yes,
this is our debut show, and we thank you all for listening. This is Tim the Overseer with Big Tate Entertainment. I want to make sure I say his name right, so you know him. Next week we'll put some tags out so you'll have access to him and his Facebook. And so he's in the entertainment business, and so me, I'm in ministry, and so this is a freestyle platform to where we just want to just address things in the community or just in the world. It could be anything we talk about. It could be sports. It don't have to be about this. But next week, the topic is about the N-word. And again, to close out before I go, I had something I want to say. I just want to kind of make sure I don't lose my train of thought. But, you know, for the most part, you know, even if we touch a little bit on the subject again, next week, and not the entire subject, but, you know, we got to find some type of resolve. And, again, the purpose of this is to basically not advocate violence or looting anything. That's not what it's about. That's not going to get us anywhere. We know that's not it. Hey, I gave you a spiritual resolve. I gave you a spiritual out. Get saved. Don't let people trick you into salvation is a joke, believing is a joke. Hey, let me tell you right now, I have a spiritual father, and I'm into spirituality, and I'll be back on the air tomorrow night, Saturday, at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. East Coast Time with Spiritual Sense Life, our radio podcast. I'll be on there, and I'll be back. We'll be back next Friday night at 10 p.m. East Coast Time for Freestyle Fridays, 9 p.m. Central Time, and 7 p.m. West Coast Time, okay? So I just want to make sure I just put that out there. Again, we'll be back next week. We'll be talking about the N-word And we'll touch on some more stuff because, again, Big Tay, you brought out a lot of good points today that we really didn't get to touch on. And, again, condolences you're welcome, Doctor. Appreciate you being on as my co-host. And just want to say, you know, hey, just pray for Mr. Floyd and his family, his loved ones. Again, we can't – that type of pain and hurt that so many of us have experienced in our communities – let's just pray for our nation and pray for our people. Pray for those that are out there looting that no one gets hurt or even worse. We got to come up with a better strategy, and that's what we need to brainstorm on. Hey, we all for it. You know, reach out to us and let us know what you think about some ideas, but we got to do better as a community, as a people, as a nation. With that being said, I'm fixing to get out of here. And thank you, Big Tate. We'll holler at you next week. We'll be on the air. Thank you guys for listening to our Freestyle Fridays. You be blessed. We love each and every one of y'all, and you all have a good night. Be blessed.
Yeah, man. Good night.